This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This is the Fast Break Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, as always, is Dave Oster.
Hey, everybody.
And today, we are talking about our wet boys for this week. We're also talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers and what's wrong with them, because that ship might be sinking. We're also talking about Ja out in Philly, what they should do with Jahlil Okafor. And then finally, we're going to be wrapping it up and talking about the Orlando Magic and really talking about their run so far and whether it is for real. We talked a little bit about it in Oakley's or Folkley's last week, but this team has been red hot. They've still been keeping it up, so we got to talk them in their own segment. So let's jump into our wet boys, though. We're talking about some wet boys, some damp dudes, some soggy shooters, all that jazz. I don't really care anymore. It's whatever.
You get the point.
But Dave, looking at your wet boy, who is your wet boy of the week?
I mean, my wet boy this week is Ben Simmons. It's the process. You got to trust it. And honestly, he has looked so damn good.
He's looked better than Joel Embiid.
He has. And the upside is he's involved in the game. Like, the ball in his hands at almost all times. That offense runs. If that man learns to shoot, it's the same thing. It's scary. He's putting up like 29-9 and two steals a night.
His shot is decent.
It's pretty good.
He had a couple of jumpers that looked pretty decent last game.
It was
against Atlanta.
True.
But still, I mean, there was two times that he went to the right side of the basket and threw up a running hook shot and threw it in.
He is silky smooth near the net. I love it.
I'm just saying, and the jumper's not looking bad.
He's been popping off, and that's why he is my wet boy.
Of the week. And there we go. All right. My wet boy is actually a whole team. The Phoenix Suns, 4-1 since firing Earl Watson and just sending, our boy Eric Bledsoe to the Shadow Realm.
Yep.
Just getting rid of him.
There are no rules here. You're nominating an entire team.
The whole team's getting it. Because I can't pick between Devin Booker and I can't pick between TJ Warren. But even then, Mike James is popping off for 20 in a game. 4-1. They got wins over Sacramento. Not a big deal. They got a win over Utah, and Utah's like pretty decent this year.
Yeah.
Only lost by 7 to Portland, which is probably a win for them, honestly.
That's like, pretty much.
Not a win on the actual schedule, but it's
but
a win.
Right here, it's a win
in the heart.
Yeah.
And then also they get a win over the Wizards, which was super shocking, where TJ Warren dropped 40, and he was extremely efficient from the field when he did it as well. And TJ Warren in the past three games has been on fire, 59% from the field, 76 from the line, not that impressive, but 9 rebounds per game, and then dropping 24. He's been fantastic, and Dev Book has been fantastic as well. Looking at over his past three games, he's been just lighting it up as well, dropping 29.3 points per game and shooting 54% from three.
That's the scary thing, is the efficiency. Mm-hmm. The efficiency is there.
Dev Book.
I don't know how to explain this team.
They're getting lucky.
They're getting lucky.
That's probably all about it. We're not going to be talking about the Phoenix Suns probably a little bit more. I don't think next week we're going to have a talk about whether the Phoenix Suns are legit or not.
Oh, God.
But still, I mean, it's been fun, and we'll see what happens if they move Eric Bledsoe. There's some talk about Reggie Jackson being moved there, but they don't even want Reggie Jackson. They're saying they're going to ship Bledsoe to Detroit, and they want to bring a third team to take in Reggie Jackson. So Reggie Jackson's not even wanted
trash
the Phoenix
ass
Suns.
Contract.
But, hey, Phoenix Suns have been looking good. Big shout out to them. They've been looking decent. But anyways, we're going to jump into our first segment of the week, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have been bad. Three and five start this season with four straight losses to Indiana last night, and that was a bad fourth quarter collapse for them. New York beat them 114-95, which is just ridiculous. New Orleans beat them 123-101, and Brooklyn beat them 112-107. So it's not like they're losing to the San Antonio Spurs, the Golden State Warriors, the Oklahoma City Thunders, the Boston Celtics of the world.
They're losing to Brooklyn without even Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, New York with just KP and Indiana. I mean, this has been ridiculous. I mean, how much trouble, if the Cavs are in trouble, how much trouble are the Cavs?
I mean, I don't even know how to quantify it at this point because it's a dumpster fire. And from all sides...
I mean, it's four straight games.
LeBron's playing 37 minutes a game right now.
I'm not saying that's good.
That's horrible. There are three players on that team who are averaging more than 10 points.
But at least on the floor. I mean, like, it could be a rough start. Or do you think this is, like, a sign for worse problems down the line?
The only thing you have to hang your hat on is that Isaiah Thomas will be coming back in, like, January, probably. Mm-hmm. And at least he knows how to run an offense. The biggest problem here is there's no coach. There's no goddamn coach. Like, I'm watching a team of personalities and individual players, but there is no rhythm. There's no momentum. There's no shot calling. There's no logic to this team right now. And what I had expected this year was great. We've got a bunch of guys who can run ISO ball. You don't need to set up all these plays for them. Just let them play. Let them be natural. That would work with Ty Lue. Mm-hmm. The problem is in their current state, they need more coaching to actually hit that level of confidence because they came out the gates and got slapped upside the head. Like, this is a team staggering and looking for direction, and there is none around.
And what exactly, what direction should they be pushed in, at least
offensively? I mean, you should fire your coach.
So you think that Ty Lue should be canned right now?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the fact that Dan Black got fired for, like, winning, like, what, 31 games?
Yeah, it was something like that.
They had a great winning record, yeah.
And then they fired him. Ty Lue obviously came in and then
led the ship to the championship. You need someone other than, like, LeBron's buddy who's just going to keep his mouth shut being the coach. You need an actual coach.
So what...
I hate to say it.
Have you looked in exactly, like, who they should bring in? I mean, because that's something now, like, you can say, oh, they should fire their coach, and that's all well and good, but, like... Yeah. Who are they going to bring in exactly to be this coach to lead them? Because this isn't a team that you could just take over midseason and it's like, oh, you know, we expect you just to, you know, make the playoffs or win 30 games.
The expectations are
championship or bust team. Yeah. So what kind of coaches out there in your mind that you need to bring in? Because obviously you're thinking more of an authoritarian kind of guy, a guy that's not going to take shit, a guy that can really, you know, maintain superstars. I think your mind's going to Phil Jackson.
Dude, but, I couldn't even surface. I'm like, you know who would work.
But in actuality, is there anyone in your mind that you think they need to go out and get exactly? Or is it just you need to change cultures?
You just need a change of cultures. I mean, we saw you bragged on your wet boy of the week, the entire Phoenix Suns team, by changing a coach. The entire team changed what they did.
I don't think Jay Triano's anything. I don't think look at Jay Triano.
It's not what the coach does. It's what firing the coach sends a message
about. But that's five games.
And that's
five. It's five games, and I don't think... I feel like this is more...
Removing Ty Lue off the team versus having him there. Do you think there's any impact of Ty Lue being there? Do you think there's any bonuses he gives this team?
I think the one thing is that, at least looking at this, and I think I said it when we talked about this with Ricky, talking about D-Wade's buyout, is the fact that they are just accumulating talent right now, and they're not bringing anything cohesive to the plate right now.
Yeah.
And you look at that, there's nothing cohesive about this Cleveland Cavaliers team. You look at offensively, it's LeBron James, and LeBron's going to pass it to whoever's open. They're going to run pick and roll. They're going to try to find the open shooter. That's all they're doing. They're running no sets at all. They're just running pick and rolls. LeBron's trying to create something. He's doing as much as he can. But then again, you look at defensively, there's nothing there. I mean, there's a lack of trying out there. And I think you need a culture change.
Yeah.
But I don't think Ty Lue is getting rid of him right now. Is going to be the guy that, you know, is really going to be, you know, the true thing. I think there needs to be a message sent, but I don't know if you need to send it right now. And I also don't know if Ty Lue is the right scapegoat because, then again, there's not a lot of guys out there. I feel like, you know...
What the weird thing is going into the year, no coaching changes had been made. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the first year in, I forget how long, like 30 years or something ridiculous, where we had an offseason where no coaches were fired. And then right off the bat, the Suns obviously have let go of their head coach. I believe Ty Lue provides zero value to this team.
I
think that there is literally...
I think he brings locker room value, but that's about it.
Yeah, I don't think
the Cavs players dislike Ty Lue.
No.
I feel like they like Ty Lue, so I feel like there's at least...
You can like your head coach, but he doesn't bring value to the team. He doesn't
ridiculous. I think he does bring something to at least a morality aspect. I think he does at least have an understanding of the game. I don't think he brings anything offensively or defensively. I don't think he brings anything in sets and play designs. But then again... If you have the figure coach in Ty Lue, I think you need to at least surround him with better assistant coaches and guys like that. And maybe that's where the changes need to be made, not really with Ty Lue, because I feel like the players like Ty Lue. And if you get rid of Ty Lue alongside of just completely struggling, I feel like that might, you know, alienate players a little bit more than just, you know, changing cultures.
There is the potential for that. I mean, it could always backfire and turn into, you know, their best friend got fired from his job, and, you know, now we got this new guy coming who's going to tell us how to run our team. To what? LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, like
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith. None of these guys give a fuck. Like,
no.
That, go, like, a coach walks in the door, like, I don't even know, just mystery coach. Anybody beyond, like, literally Phil Jackson.
Vinny Del Negro.
Oh, my
Let's
God.
Let's just throw out Vinny D.
That's an awful...
But, like, say Vinny Del Negro comes in and he says, hey, LeBron, we're going to run some
horns.
Can we
go Jeff Van Gundy or something? Like,
Jeff Van Gundy's not leaving his job. I mean, that's like the whole Gruden shit. Gruden's not leaving his job at Monday Night Football.
I'm literally
Jeff
just
Van
trying
Gundy's
to think of a coach who's available, who has coaching experience.
Vinny Del Negro has coaching experience. But I'm just saying, I'm using him as an option.
Coaching
anybody,
experience. Yes.
Anybody. He went to the playoffs, I think, once.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyways. But,
the,
like...
The point is
if I think anyone comes in, they're not going to listen to him. And that's why I think an assistant coach is a better change, because they're at least going to, hopefully, listen to it. And I think the biggest change that needs to be made is LeBron needs to realize that they need to at least step up their play on the court, and he needs to be more of a vocal leader, because they're not going to listen to Ty Lue. I don't think that's the thing. I think they'll listen to him in a way, like, you know, like, they'll take some advice from him, but if LeBron's saying, like, hey, they know that LeBron has the power to kick him off the team.
Yeah.
We saw this with, you know, Tristan Thompson, where he had the ability to keep him on the team, and now he's going to be out for a month, which is probably going to hurt them as well. But I feel like there's so much talent on this team for them not to be bad. I think it's just got to be a small culture change and see what happens. Because, again, the talent on this team could beat the teams that they're being. I mean, they're more talented than Brooklyn.
They should. And that's what honestly confuses me, because, like, J.R. Smith is struggling really badly. And it's pretty much everybody's kind of pointing back to it started as soon as they picked up Dwayne Wade. And he's like, oh, fuck, I'm coming off the bench now. And you just saw him not care during games. And then when he did get time, it's hard to get back into a rhythm, and it's hard to get motivated again. So honestly, I think you have, if you're taking out a coaching change, which I believe is the quickest way to get a message across to this team.
But do you think it's the most effective way?
I do. I think that's the best option, and that's without even having a planned option of who it's going to be. But just literally getting rid of Ty Lue. Outside of that, is what they need to do is start stretching out their minutes for other guys, because you can't run 10 deep and let them all play like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't build continuity. You don't build any sort of teamwork for that. Like, guys need to play with each other for much longer stretches. So what I'm looking for is LeBron to take his number down from 37 to like 35, and then to cut some minutes from these bottom tier guys. And I know with injuries, it's hard to mix these up, but like, honestly, you do need to get a standard first unit and a standard second unit and let them build continuity together.
But going off that, I mean, D-Rose obviously missed a couple games due to an injury. He's only played 4. You look at Jose Calderon, he's only played 6 games. Shupp's only played 6 games. Channing Frye, 7 games. Zizek, 3 games. Osman, 5 games. I mean, they're not going deep into this bench. I mean,
no,
not...
but I mean, if you look, literally, they're I mean, their 10th starter averages 18.2 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm. No, but they're not giving enough time to all the players. You know, they're not using proper rotation.
Yeah, and that's, again, it comes down to fundamental coaching, I feel. Mm-hmm. That's, I'm like, if they need to...
But he's done it before, and that's the thing. That I don't think it's something... I think it's something that there's going to be growing pains, and there's growing pains with every team. It's just, I think it's severe just because it's...
Learning how to use an ISO-driven team, though, when you have players like Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, and obviously this is not Dwayne Wade even of last year, this is even more diminished Dwayne Wade, which is...
Oh, who called it?
I mean, you have to see it to believe it.
Called it.
You can say you called it, but there, you had no reason to believe that he would fall off this hard.
No, I did. He's 37 years old with no knees.
He's not 37. He's 36.
He won't be
37.
He damn well could be 55 years old.
But that's the thing. So you have ISO guys. Your biggest offensive weapon is still on the bench in Isaiah Thomas. So, you don't want to...
No, hold on.
Offensive weapon.
Isaiah Thomas is more of an offensive weapon than LeBron James.
LeBron James is the best player.
I don't know. I think he's
Isaiah
probably the
Thomas
best
averaged 30
weapon.
Points a game last year.
Yeah, and LeBron is a 25-7-7 machine who's going to pass
30
people
is higher
open.
Than 25. I'm just saying. Like
look, a scoring weapon,
yes,
maybe.
That's what I said.
You said, offensive weapon.
Oh, my God. Let's get over fucking semantics here.
I'm just saying.
Okay, you're right. I will give that. You are right.
One is probably a generational offensive weapon. And then
no, you just say generational talent. You can just stop at talent. Whatever. But the problem is I want to pull the cord so quickly on this team because I see them struggle so hard against teams with half the talent. And at the same time, knowing that Isaiah Thomas is out there and will come back at the midpoint in this year, there's still hope. But even him coming back doesn't dramatically change the way this team needs to play. That's the difference.
I just feel if you make a coaching change without a prior move and also just, you know, consulting everybody on the team, it could just completely demoralize
the team. They've
already
had a team meeting of players only.
I feel like this is something that's probably more relatable to Spoelstra when they first brought the Big Three in Miami, where they had the team meeting, you know, 10 games or whatever into the season.
Same.
And then they started turning it around. I feel like that is more of what's going on right now. They need to regroup as a team rather than completely, you know, start canning people
the
and
difference
getting rid
is,
of people. But if they are going to get rid of people, you got to look more on the bench and away from Lou than the guys. I'm not saying Lou's doing a great job, but I think that getting rid of Luke could really demoralize the team.
I like that you brought up Miami. And because of that, I want to nail down, in Miami, you had three superstars. Mm-hmm. We're down to like 1.5 superstars.
I'd give Caleb a superstar.
Caleb's is phenomenal.
Caleb's been great.
Yeah. Okay, fine. If you want to give it two, whatever. The difference is your core man, who was literally like, I want to say the heart and soul of that Miami team, was Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm. And he was playing Superman whenever he needed to be. Whenever called on, he was there. This is a team where you have LeBron James, you have Caleb, and you have a broken Derrick Rose. He was injured for what? He already missed half the season, four games, right?
Yeah, four games. Not half the season.
Half the season.
Four games sounds way better than
I know.
Half the season.
But the point is there's such a drop-off, and you don't have guys in their prime after that. You have J.R. Smith, who's slumping. You have Jay Crowder, who, great. I mean, he's been great for them. I have to admit, that's been awesome. Jeff Green came out of freaking nowhere. Don't know how that happened.
He's been good. But then again, it doesn't solve their defensive problems.
Well, Jeff Green's actually a decent defender. Like Jay Crowder's a decent defender.
Those two are the only guys that have been decent defenders.
That's it.
And you just lost your one rim protector in Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
So I'm worried at least more about...
So are you trying to pull the trigger on some of these players then?
No, I'm worried more about the effort, and the effort needs to step up, especially with Thompson mm-hmm. going down. So I look at this and, you know, taking everything that you're saying about Ty Lue, I think firing Ty Lue would be... I don't think he's exactly... I think there's something wrong with Ty Lue, but I think what's wrong with him could be fixed. And I feel like the real problem is just the effort out on the court. And I feel like it could become a true problem if it's not fixed right away, because if they do not fix this mentality problem, they do not fix this effort problem, mm-hmm. this is just going to snowball and keep snowballing. And then teams are going to gain confidence against the Cavs, and the Cavs are just going to lose confidence. And you guys like D Rose have gone through so many injuries before. Yeah. They're just going to be completely down on themselves, even if they're playing great basketball, which he's not really.
He's been
a decent scorer, but I mean, they can't defend for shit. Yeah. But you look at like guys like LeBron, and then now people are going to get the idea of him creeping in about, oh, well, if we don't have a good season, LeBron's going to leave. And then that's going to lead to uncalculated mistakes. I feel like once by the end of November, if shit isn't right, you gotta start canning people.
Or give them one more month.
It's been 8 games.
8 games is enough to know a lot of things.
But what we know is they're not trying. And you could fix that.
Is it effort, or is it a lack of direction? That's where I come into it. I think it's a combination of both.
I feel like it's more of a lack of effort out there, because these guys have so much talent, and while they are very offensively talented, they don't have a lot of defense out there. I feel like if they started giving a shit defensively, mm-hmm. this team would be better. I mean, like, watching this team, I feel like there's a lack of effort defensively and a lack of effort offensively. I feel like there definitely needs to be more direction. I completely agree with you. That's why I'm saying fire the assistant head coaches and try to bring in guys with a different, fresh outlook out there instead of going after T. Lue, because T. Lue's a guy that they like.
I get it. You want to protect... Because you're right. There is a potential for backlash.
LeBron needs to at least step up a little bit too as well. And not his play on the court, but at least as a leader. Because I haven't seen LeBron be a leader out there. He's been great on the floor, but I think he could do a little more in the locker room.
That's fair.
Anyways, let us know what you think. What's wrong with the Cleveland Cavaliers down in the comments below? Do you think it's Dave's idea of firing Ty Lue right away? Are you going to make Ty Lue go to LinkedIn and check out more, different jobs?
Get stepped over one more time.
Ty Lue's going to be on ZipRecruiter real soon, according to Dave. Or are you on my side that this team just needs to step it off, on the floor, because they have so much damn talent that they should be better than, 3-5 losing the Brooklyn Nets and New York Knicks. But tell us in the comments what you think the Cavs should be doing. We're moving on to our next segment. And before we do, we just want to give a shout out to everybody on Blog Talk Radio, because we forgot to do it. Yeah. To start the podcast, if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, thank you so much for checking us out. I don't know if the new logo's up, but we did make a new logo, so you should be seeing that pretty
dang some time
soon. And then also, big shout out to everyone on iTunes. If you haven't checked us out on iTunes, please go rate our podcast, and also just go rate every Most Valuable Podcast. Rick and Johnny, The Onside Kick, Primetime Podcast, Fast Break. You don't even need to listen to them, to be honest, to actually rate them.
We'll just take the stars.
If you could help us out, we'd greatly appreciate it. Most Valuable Podcast on iTunes, and also patreon.com/Most Valuable Podcast. You saw the segment we did with Jake, the two segments that we did with Jake 2 weeks ago, and they were absolutely fun. We should have Jake back next month, and also Pat, who is a new patron. So head over to patreon.com/Most Valuable Podcast. I would be fired if I didn't do that, and I almost didn't do that, so that's why we did it. And we are back here on YouTube, and we're back on Blog Talk Radio, going into our second segment, and we are talking about Jahlil Okafor, the Philadelphia 76ers decline his option, the last option.
Shocker.
So he is not going to be a Sixer next year, but there are now talks of possibly buying out Ja and or also trading him.
Yeah.
So really, it's what is going to happen with Jahlil Okafor. And looking at all this, I mean, Ja is still very, very young, a top pick not too long ago. He's got talent, but he's, you know, probably, you know, in the wrong generation for that talent. But
yeah.
What do you think is going to happen with Jahlil Okafor, either on the Sixers? Do you think he's going to get bought out? Do you think he's going to get traded? Do you think he's just going to be sitting for the rest of the season? What do you think is really the Ja move?
I mean, best scenario for him would be a buyout, but they're not going to do that. This is the Sixers. Everything has value. The Colangelos know that. Even though you won't get anywhere close to a return on what you spent for Ja, you will still get something. The problem is they're fighting themselves on whether they want to win games or let Ja play. And I do say that, not trying to be mean, not that Ja throws games, but like the Sixers this year are legitimately trying to make a run for the playoffs. And having Ja in there is a piece who you don't plan on having there for more than, you know, this year, worst case scenario, not the right move. So,
and just talking about winning games, I mean, the one game he did play, they lost to Toronto. I'm not saying that's the reason
Whoa. Coincidence there, eh?
Just saying, he's played one game and they lost to Toronto.
Hey there, buddy.
Just saying.
Look, it's sad because Ja, again, he popped off his rookie year, dropped like 17 and 10 with no effort.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's gone to vegan Ja. He's transformed his body. He's slimmed down. He's quicker. The effort is, it looked like it was there a little bit in the short bits we got to see, but they still are going away from him. It doesn't look like they're going to be able to raise his value anymore at this point. So really, it's just like, if they can get a late one or a couple of twos maybe, I see something similar to like the Nerlens deal.
I don't even know if that's going to be, I don't even know if they have that much of value on him, because Nerlens still had, you know, control on him, where Ja now, I mean, it's pretty much declined. And this is what I want to bring up is someone on Reddit. We're going to shout out user Alaric 1224.
Ah.
I hate reading Reddit usernames.
It's the worst.
Why couldn't it just be like Steve? Steve from Delaware. But it's not Steve from Delaware. He's a Jazz fan. He said the Sixers should probably buy him out to save cash because no team really wants Okafor and is going to give up much to get him because they now turned down his option to close a loophole in the CBA. Any team that trades for him now will not be able to sign him for more than $6 million a year as a free agent in the offseason. If a team trades for Okafor, they presumably think they can reclaim his value based on the potential that they made the third pick in the draft. So any team that trades for him will get stuck with a catch 22. If they trade for him and he's good enough to play for another, and he's good enough for another team to pay him more than $6 million a year, then they will lose him in free agency and they lost assets with little gain. If they trade for him and he's not good enough for another team to pay him more than $6 million a year, they would be able to retain him in free agency, but probably not worth the assets given up for him. It's a lose-lose situation for an Okafor trade. So really the only, and all these teams know it, the pretty much real situation that the 76ers have is to buy him out. So I don't think they're getting a one. I think that's kind of far-fetched.
I figured if it was like a crazy team like, you know, San Antonio would turn like pick 26 into Jahlil Okafor.
Pop's not stupid.
If anyone could turn Pop, if anyone could turn him around, would it not be Pop?
Yeah, and he'd do it for like a can of beans.
I mean,
Pop's not stupid.
The real fear I'm having right now is two men, Garpax.
Do you think that they're going to actually trade for him, though? Or do you think that now...
Like, hold my beer mode. We're going to get a job.
But at least...
Bring him home.
Do you think that they're going to probably wait until he's bought out? I mean, do you think that we're ultimately going to see a buyout, or do you think we're going to see a trade?
I am horrified that we will see a trade.
Is that because you're a Bulls fan?
Yes, it's because I'm a Bulls fan.
Do you think that's the number one landing spot for him?
I'm just trying to think of teams that fit, and right now, like, best fit for Ja would be San Antonio. It's a place where he can... spend time, learn the fundamentals. You will get the best out of him there. And I think that honestly would be a great fit for him.
You get to learn under LaMarcus Aldridge, Pau Gasol.
I mean, you have best bigs. It's just ideal situation. But at the same time, I can see teams who are just looking to, you know, poke around, see if he's still got any talent left in him at 22. You know, is he washed up already? Can he fit his system? I see Garpax being, you know, again, idiots in the room. Who are like, we can get this. Like, you thought Chris Dunn? Oh, we're going even better.
Chris Dunn, okay.
Dunn's actually looked good. I want to, like...
Relax. He played one season behind Ricky Rubio on a terrible defensive team.
I know.
But Ja, I mean, do you think there's a lot much left in him? Because
I think Ja's still got value.
But do you think that we've seen everything we've seen? So whatever you're getting and trading for, this is what you're getting Jahlil Okafor. Do you think that there's possibly more that we can see from Ja? Or do you think,
I think he can still develop his game. Like, the big thing with Ja was, there was a couple things with Ja. It was the effort he was showing in his early years already.
He was playing a shitty Sixers team.
The problem is you're playing on a demoralized team where you were told your plan is to lose.
Yeah.
It's hard to be motivated.
But then what if you go to the Bulls? I mean, this is a team that your plan is to lose, but your team fucking sucks.
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan is arguable.
I don't think the Bulls are Sam Hinkie. But I don't think the Bulls are Sam Hinkieing this. But also, I mean, this is still a team that's terrible and going to Sam Hinkie it whether they're trying or not.
Maybe. But that would at least give him back to the volume levels that he was looking at his rookie year. So, you know, him with volume, him now as a leaner version of himself, I think the next thing he needs to work on is honestly his basketball IQ. Like, we've seen it so much. The problem is I keep looking back at the days of college when he was such a dominant force, when he was a great passer out of the post.
Yeah, and remember, he was like 7 feet tall and super and lean playing against like, you know, and this is like Will Chamberlain against
the problem
like
the is, it's like
guys.
Him in the post and it looks smooth, and then you watch him in the NBA and he's just like standing there palming the ball like 18 feet out and you're like, good shoot, I dare you. Mm-hmm. I dare, because you're not going to do anything else.
Well, and when you talk about basketball too, what IQ, what exactly are you saying? Like, what parts of his game need to develop? Are you saying just like shot taking, or what exactly needs to be developed?
His decision making with the ball is one of the biggest things, because it seems like he has been, I don't know whether he learned it or whether he was told, like, for some reason he turned off the ability to pass out of the low post. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets the ball and he just thinks it's back to the basket, back somebody down, and try to go over a shoulder or make a spin move on them or something. And I get it. It worked out for you great for so long in your life that you have to adjust to playing against a higher-level competition and knowing that that's not always the most effective play. And because you are such a force and with, again, he has still some of the best low post moves in the NBA, and he's 22. Mm-hmm. Like, he's such a good scorer at that aspect. The problem is it's not always the right play. And he needs to know when to pass out of it. And for some reason, he, like, turned that off.
And one thing, do you think that maybe going to a team and possibly a change of scenery could be the biggest thing for him?
It absolutely could.
You look at what he said today, or I think it was a day ago. He came out and said, I try to be professional. I would continue to be professional. But at some point, I have to defend myself. And this is my career. I'm not sure if Colangelo cares about that. And I think it's evident at this point. Now we're seeing Isaiah Thomas come out today, say, man, they're acting like Jahlil Okafor. Don't got game. Let the man go and rock out for somebody else. Crazy how they're doing them. So, I mean, looking at this, obviously, you know, they're constraining them because they want to get as much value and they don't want to buy them out. But it looks like buyout's probably their best option for them. And I feel like, I mean, we've seen this plenty of times before, mm-hmm. a change of scenery is going to do a player great. And like you said, the skills are there.
Yeah.
But then again, the biggest thing that I worry about is the skills can be there. But then again, this is a guy playing, you know, 20 years late. I mean, this is a guy that has great low post moves. Cool.
Yeah.
How much is that doing for the, you know, New Orleans Pelicans right now with Anthony Davis and Boogie, who have the best low post moves, can also stretch it out and still aren't, you know, above 500? I mean, this is a team right now that they have two of the best down low players in the league.
I think
and they're versatile as well.
Yeah.
And they're not able to win games with two guys. I mean, you know, Ja, I don't think the real point is you're bringing them to win.
Your one can't be a big. And I think that's where we're kind of.
And I don't think Ja is, you know, going to be brought in anywhere. And if he does get brought in,
yeah.
I don't think he's going to be a one anywhere. But still, I think the fact that you're going to be bringing in a guy that, you know, we don't know about his basketball IQ, and then you're trying to rely on him as like a two or a three option where he's going to be able to pass out of the down low in the post and be able to a second scoring option, and you're worried about his basketball IQ. I don't know if he's actually going to be able to do that because he's probably going to be playing more for a contract next year rather than, you know, trying to win a team.
There's that chance, but I think he has to realize that, like, again, if he gets the opportunity to play this year, it shouldn't be about him trying to stats up. It should be about him trying to show he's grown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference is teams, yeah, stat lines are great enough for, like, people who don't watch games. But, like, as a scout, as a player talent manager, you need to see growth out of a player. If not, you're just like, yeah, it's great. He played garbage time and continued to rack up points. Same thing he did his rookie year. Same thing Michael Carter-Williams did his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
There's talent there, but there's nothing we can use.
And finally, just what do you think is going to ultimately happen? Is it going to be a trade or a buyout for Jeff?
See, I didn't know the information when you read out the buyout stuff. I still feel like they're going to gun for a trade somehow because someone will give them a two, like a top 10 in the second round pick probably.
I don't even know about that. I feel like they're going to get
the Celtics have like 19 picks, right?
If they get a two, they're going to get like 12 years from now. And
the Celtics have
like
how many picks? I mean,
you think Celtics are the best move for him?
No, but I'm just saying they've got a lot of ammo.
That doesn't matter, though. You're going to bring in a player that doesn't fit with your system. You're not planning on playing. What's the point of that? It's like the Celtics, like, it's like the Cavs, like, oh, it's bringing talent.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know exactly how Ja helps that team. But
you need, like, a Venn diagram. People who are, like, able to afford tossing away a pick on something that has a very low probability of paying off, but if it does, it could be great.
I think.
And then those who actually need him.
What's going to happen is he gets bought out, and it's going to be some crappy team at the bottom of the barrel that's just looking for some, you know, player down the road that could help them, and that's going to pick him up. So maybe Atlanta picks him up, Chicago picks him up, maybe New York takes a shot at him, even though they don't need him. I don't know about Brooklyn, to be honest with you. I don't think Brooklyn's going to be the best. But like Sacramento, maybe. Yeah, I think like it's going to be a bottom shoot team, and, mm-hmm. and they're going to see how he does after a buyout. But I don't think they're going to be able to trade him. I don't think any team's going to give up any value for him because there's no value to trade for him. Because then again, like if he plays well, you're not going to be able to bring him back. And if he doesn't play well, you're going to have to sign him for, you know, a pretty hefty contract that you could be brought up by a guy that, you know, maybe like a Kyle Kuzma guy that you take in the second round and he just comes out and balls out.
Late one.
Like, I'm just saying, like, you know, this could be a guy that takes up a roster space and gets rid of a guy that could really, you know, flourish for your team. So ultimately,
he's 22. Kuzma's 23 or 24?
I'm not saying he doesn't have talent, but Kuzma is a guy who's ready for this NBA.
I know.
He's a guy who could shoot threes.
I know, and I love Kuzma.
Ja needs to work on his basketball IQ, has been in legal trouble before getting fights in Boston.
He might have punched out a guy.
And I'm just saying.
And he also missed some games, too.
Yeah, and he's been
injured. His health concerns.
So I think that Ja, while he might have talent, I don't think he's going to be able to showcase it anytime soon. Because I think that if a trade happens, it's not going to happen until February, January.
Oh,
and
really?
if a buyout happens, it's not going to be until like December or January. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But we will see. Hopefully Ja gets to be able to play.
Free Ja.
At some point. Free Ja. And use that hashtag free Ja.
Yep.
And also let us know in the comments down below where Jahlil Okafor, I can't keep saying Ja, where Jahlil Okafor is going to end up at the end of the season. Are they going to buy him out? Are they going to trade him? Are they going to get rid of Ja? Where's Ja going to be? But anyways, let's jump into our final topic. It's on the Orlando Magic. The 6-2 Magic are absolutely on fire. Currently won 2 straight over Memphis and New Orleans. They also have wins over Cleveland and San Antonio. This team, somehow they lost to Brooklyn and Charlotte, too, even though Charlotte's going to be a playoff team this year. But still, this team's 6-2, probably the surprise so far of the NBA. They've been fantastic. Even the games they lost, they only lost to 7 by Charlotte. And then also you look at the Brooklyn game, only lost to 5. So looking at this team so far, they've been fantastic. Do you think this is a legit thing? Because you said they were Oakleys last week.
I called it.
Are you still sticking with the Oakleys?
I am.
I mean,
I
it's only 8 games, Dave.
10 starters.
They have 10 starters. That's the joke. We get it. But, like, are those 10 starters for real, and can they make a cohesive playoff team?
You know what? I want to say I'm still rocking yes. Like, I've not seen anything that makes me afraid. None of these games are fluky. There have been outstanding performances by individual players, but at the same time, they've figured out how to use a 3-ball, and their offense, which has just been huge for them this year, massive spike. And just the player gain out of Fournier, Gordon, Vucevic, and Jonathan Simmons, honestly, like, quiet guy on the team, but he's been a great glue guy for them. He's been able to carry them through some lulls in their offense, good on defense. Like, he has just been fantastic.
Well, and one thing, too, they're doing this with mostly without Elfrid Payton. Elfrid Payton's been banged up a little bit, only played 2 games so far with a hamstring injury. And DJ Augustine stepped up and has been pretty damn good for him so far.
Yeah,
leading team assist, averaging 8 a game. I mean, it's nothing crazy, but then again, he's been decent so far. So
serviceable.
I mean, DJ Augustine has been a nice, you know, step in for them as well. And one thing that I've really seen is really the defense has stepped up for the Orlando Magic. And we talked about this last year, that Frank Vogel, like obviously a defensive coach, did this with the Indiana Pacers when he was their coach there. And he was a defensive-minded coach. He has guys that you look at who they drafted, bring in Jonathan Isaac, a guy who's a versatile defender. They bring in Jonathan Simmons, versatile defender. I mean, they brought in guys, Bismack Biyombo as well, is a rim protector. You can laugh all you want, but he's still a rim protector. So, I mean, they brought guys around him that are going to fit into the system. Aaron Gordon's athletic enough to be a decent defender. Nikola Vucevic was really dog shit, you know, early on in his career. Defensively, but
don't
it's really,
hold back now, Sean.
But it stepped up, and I'm going to give credit to Nikola Vucevic so far defensively. And Evan Fournier, I mean, I don't think he's, you know, a stopper out there, but he hasn't been bad defensively. And you see this where they're able to hold their opponents. I mean, I think the Spurs game they held them to under 29% from the field shooting. They've really been able to staunch opponents defensively, and then also be able to provide, you know, career games from guys like Nikola Vucevic, Aaron Gordon, Evan Fournier as well. I mean, this team so far has looked decent. I don't know how far they can go, but honestly, I think they're going to come back down to earth a little bit. But I think coming down to earth might mean they're, you know, a fifth, sixth, maybe even a fourth seed in the Eastern Conference.
It's the East. Like,
it's weird saying. I want to throw up.
Yeah, you want to throw up?
It's weird saying that the Orlando Magic probably could be a fourth seed.
You know this complimentary piece to all that defense style, right? You got T. Ross and you got Mo Spates.
You do.
Two guys who can just make it rain,
And you got Mo Spates with at least, experience as well in the playoffs.
Oh, he does.
From Golden State. So, I mean, looking at it,
I think they've kind of weirdly collected a good roster. And I know, 10 stars deep, we give them shit. And Mario Hezonja is never going to be worth, fucking anything.
Garbage.
Booty. But the thing is that they've got a good balance of offense and defense. The question that I've been surprised by so far is, like you said, DJ Augustine stepping in. But can it last? I think so. I think they've got everything. Like I said, the wins haven't been fluky. The performances look fairly sustainable. I know you're not going to get 40 a night from guys like Vucevic or Fournier, but you're going to get...
I mean, right now they level out to 22 from Fournier, which I think that's probably exactly where he could be. I mean, he's been a guy that could, been around 20 throughout his whole career. He's shown that scoring ability. Aaron Gordon has shown the ability. I mean, he was a high draft pick. He really hasn't been able to show that scoring ability, but now he's really showing it to a high peak. We've always seen the athleticism from obviously, and Vucevic has always been around 19 points. So, true. I mean, the contributions that they're getting from the top three are pretty sustainable. I think it's really the percentages that will go down. I mean, I think currently as a team, they're shooting like near 50% from three. That's going to go down.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, this is a team, 44% from three, but it's still going to go down. But still, this team so far has put out a really great effort out there. And I feel like, I don't want to say that, they're going to be a sleeper to win a championship or anything, but damn sure they could be a playoff team so far the way they've been playing. And I think the one thing that I'm worried about, though, is if they, have this great of a start, I still don't see star potential in any of these guys. I don't think Evan Fournier is a star. I don't think Aaron Gordon is a star. I don't think Nikola Vucevic is a star. I could be wrong on that, but when I look back at a Vogel team, I saw a Paul George anchor team. That was your star, and even then, that wasn't enough to get them past LeBron James. That wasn't enough to get them to an NBA Finals, and that's what got Frank Vogel fired. I think one thing that Orlando Magic fans, have to look at is I don't think any of these guys are a number one. I think they're all decent number twos. Vucevic is probably a good three on a team. But overall, I think this team, can be a playoff team, but I don't think we'll see anything else unless they start drafting, well and bringing in these star players to really, be ones on this team. And I think one guy they passed up on was Dennis Smith. That could have been a potential one. However, I don't think the pick in Isaac was bad because that is a Frank Vogel guy. However, I think one thing you need to bring in is a guy who could be a number one. So looking at this, I mean, do you think that a hot start is kind of hurting them because this is kind of taking them away from a higher draft pick? Or do you feel like with the players that they have, they should be a playoff team and they should be in this position?
Are they going to reverse Miami Heat us this year and lose like 30 games in the second half? I mean, I don't expect that to happen.
Okay.
I agree with you in the fact that they don't have a declared number one yet.
Do you think any of these guys can be a number one?
I don't know.
Do you think Evan Fournier could be one?
It's between Aaron Fournier Gordon. And Gordon. And honestly, Fournier is a really good shooter. Gordon is pretty damn intense and athletic, but I don't want to give either one of them the all clear yet.
Are you saying both of them aren't going to shoot 55% from three?
I'm saying that's probably not going to continue. Yeah.
But, I mean, even I don't see him as number ones, even with the stuff they're on.
The thing is do you really need a number one on a balanced team? How far can they go?
But what's your expectation? If your expectation is to make the playoffs, then no, you don't need a number one.
Yeah, fine. I think the expectation is how far can this team go in the playoffs? And yeah, it sounds stupid to talk about this at, eight games in the season, but East, they're going to make the playoffs most likely unless they collapse hilariously. Or an injury, but even if they, have an injury, because they're such a close-knit team and there's no one standout star, are you really that afraid?
Yeah.
They got wing depth for days.
If they lose a guy like Aaron Gordon or a guy like Vucevic, I mean, those guys, while they're not number ones, I mean, it's still going to hurt this team immensely.
Yeah.
And I think I look at this and it's something that's definitely going to hurt them. Especially if a guy like Aaron Gordon goes down who brings so much intensity, he's also been bringing decent three-point shooting, he's also bring the athleticism, I think that's going to be hard to replace. But even then, I don't think they have enough off the bench to really pick up the slack if they do lose a guy like Vucevic or Gordon. I think that obviously, off the bench, Simmons has been really good and Simmons has been playing well for them, but I don't think he's going to be able to take it up, five more points per game, even with, a higher usage. And then even then, Terrence Ross has to step up and bring scoring. I just feel like if they lose one of the big three, and it's not even that big of a three, I still feel like they're going to be hurt significantly. But if they stay healthy, it's going to be interesting to see what they can do. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do against guys, teams like the Bucks, teams like Washington, teams like Boston, and teams like the Cavs as well, if they make it to the playoffs in a seven-game series. So looking at least, at the two big dogs, looking at the Cavs, how do you feel like they match up against a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers if they do make the playoffs and if they can keep this going, which we both think they can?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can. The big question there is, you know, which Cavs are we going to see? Are we going to see what we expect out of the Cavs or what they are right now? And they're at different levels. The Cavs right now, I honestly think that, yeah, Orlando can put up a really good fight because they match up decently well size-wise, and defensively they're on a different level than the Cavs. And that's the problem, is Cavs don't play defense. And even with Isaiah Thomas going back, that's not exactly a defensive bonus right there.
No, it's not, but you're at least going to get the offensive scoring. And then you're going to have Isaiah Thomas at the point. You're going to have J.R. Smith outside for shooting, which they have done.
He never gets his confidence back.
Yeah, and which they have done a very decent job only holding opponents to, I think, like 33% from three. And then they also, obviously, you know, LeBron is going to be an offensive nightmare. K.A. Love is going to be an offensive nightmare. And then if Thompson's healthy, he's at least, you know, going to be some challenge there.
I think the depth... The 10-man roster wins out for the Magic.
Do you like their cohesiveness? Wait, you're saying that the Magic will win in seven?
Just want to see how long it would take you to, like... No, I mean, the problem is, what we're watching from the Cavs right now isn't really who
we... Yeah, it's garbage, but yeah. I mean, what we're watching right now from the Magic is them over-succeeding.
From what we've seen right now, it's hard to say that in a seven-game series with the way the teams are playing right now, starting series tomorrow, you wouldn't think the Magic can win a seven-game series. I don't think that's where we're going to be at the end of the year.
If you asked me if it was a seven-game series between the Cavs and Magic...
Magic,
I'm proud of what you're doing, guys, but LeBron's going to turn it on.
He's already playing 37 minutes a night.
Okay, he'll play 45. Like, it doesn't matter. LeBron's a cyborg. And yeah, Jonathan Simmons is good defensively, but he's not Kawhi level to stop
Jonathan
LeBron.
Jonathan Simmons, and you have... I mean, Jay Isaac probably won't be on him.
Yeah, we're going to put Jonathan Isaac, a rookie, on fucking LeBron. Let's see how that works.
We've seen other rookies.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown didn't do that great of a job.
He
did good for a rookie, but he didn't do that great of a job. They still lost that series in six. Or in five, whatever they did.
Yeah, get it right. But no, honestly, I do think that the Cavs would probably win out. They're just out talent at teams in a series. But right now, I think matchup-wise... I like what the Magic are doing.
But how do they match up at least with the Cavs? Like position by position, do you think they have enough to stop and slow down?
They lose
LeBron?
A point guard by instantly having DJ Augustine. If Elf Payton is healthy, they're closer, but it's still not even.
I mean, Payton's on a defensive stopper.
I know. But he's a consistently I'd call him an average point guard in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I'll go with average. So it's not the end of the world, him versus D. Rose right now. I mean, that's basically a wash in my mind. At the two guard, come on, really? I mean, Fournier's got to beat by a long shot.
Yeah.
Three is a toss-up.
The three is a toss-up?
Just a little bit, just a smidge of a toss-up. Well, the problem is you're saying that you're going to run Tristan Thompson at the five, which is not what they're doing.
Okay, well...
So everybody slides over one.
Okay.
So LeBron James is your four. Obviously, he wins out.
So Crowder versus...
Yeah. Right now, it'd be Crowder versus Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I like Crowder maybe a little better, but I think Ross has potential to go off. Honestly, we haven't seen the best of Ross this year yet, so...
You think Aaron Gordon has enough to slow down LeBron James?
Christ, no.
Okay.
Slow down is a relative term, though.
Vucevic versus K-Love.
I mean, if he holds up to 24, 6-6, that's pretty good.
That's not happening. How do you think they match up with Boston and Washington?
I think
Milwaukee with the Greek Freak.
Well, all right, let's just easy sort of. Washington's been night and day. Mm-hmm. They've lost to terrible teams. They've looked good against good teams.
And I think
I don't know what to make of them.
And I think the depth of the Magic would help them there because Washington doesn't have that depth.
Right. Basically, they have Kelly Oubre as their, you know, he's partial starter right now, but he's also like their bench core. So honestly, the Washington matchup scares me though because you have two amazing guards in Bradley Beal and John Wall. Gortat, who is still performing pretty well, and then it's just like Oubre can live up, and then Porter, contract worth it, so far so good, but you know it's eight games in.
Yeah,
I don't know. They're actually very close in my mind. I usually give the advantage to the guards because it's a guard-driven league, so I'm going to go with the Wizards in that matchup, but consistency-wise, they haven't been there this year.
With the Bucks?
The Bucks, Giannis is going to lose. I love Giannis. Yeah, I love Giannis, but he's got a weaker supporting cast. And that's the thing. Like, yes, you have one star, and he is head over, you know, way out of there. Like, way above everybody else. But the problem is the drop-off from Giannis to your second-best player, and right now, because Jabari's out, that's Chris Middleton. Yes, he did pop off the other night for, like, 42, 7,
45, 7. 6, and 3 or something.
Numbers are hard for me. I'm sorry, people.
It's okay. 45, 7. 5, I think.
It was quiet.
Something like that.
It was quiet, and it was almost overshadowed by Moist Monk in the fourth, dropping like 20.
25 he dropped.
Well, in the fourth, I think he dropped 18. But my point being, when your second best player is Chris Mid, and you can get a performance out of him like that, but up to that point, he looked very underwhelming.
It was 8 games.
Yeah, and again, small sample size. We have to extrapolate the information we've got so far. And what I'm saying is guys who...
But Aaron Gordon, his career, Fournier, he's been bad in October, Chris Middleton.
He's just not been amazing, period. I mean, everybody's like, he's going to take the next step. And I'm like, nah, he's kind of just a...
I don't think anyone said that he's taking the next step. I mean, what I see from Chris Middleton is a decent 3-and-D player. And he's going to, you know, bring you 18 and, you know, 7 or something like that. And I feel like that's better than what you're going to get.
Funny, Aaron Gordon, Evan Fournier, and Vucevic, those three together, plus defense of Jonathan Simmons, I like the Magic matchup better. I think that while Giannis is an unstoppable force, he is just one man versus a 10-deep roster.
So you take...
I take the Magic against the Bucks right now.
And then with the Celtics final team?
The Celtics is scary because, like, I don't know if they're real. And for different reasons than, like, we were joking around about, like, the Suns and other teams. But, like, look, Jaylen Brown on the court has been amazing. And that team is... I think I saw some stat on Reddit, like, plus 65 or something with him on the court, minus 6 with him off. And J-Tay has been great. Kyrie, obviously, can't carry a team on his own, but he's still a very good player. I'm a little worried. Like, that matchup, I would favor Celtics still.
So what exactly worries you about it?
Honestly,
What about the Orlando Magic worries you about the Celtics matchup?
The big thing for me is, again, you have the better point guard, you have the better big, and Al Horford, as far as what he can do across the board. I know Vucevic is a better scorer, but... I just want to clarify that because I, you know, offensive player, score, whatever. Al Horford gets the ball moving. He is an excellent pick and roll player, pick and pop player. He's just a much more versatile player than Vucevic is and more impactful to that team. So I like their 1-5. And then I think with what you're getting out of people like Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, and honestly,
what worries about you, the Celtics?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So
the
you're
one
naming
of
the things you like.
Oh, why would the Magic beat them?
Yeah, no, I'm saying what worries you? Because you're saying you're not sure what to make
of the Celtics. I'm picking the Celtics.
Yeah, but what worries you in that matchup?
Because they're getting good results so far out of their younger players.
What worries you in that matchup if you're the Celtics?
I'm so confused.
If you're the Boston Celtics and you're saying, oh, we have to play the Orlando Magic, I'm worried about X.
I mean, slowing down Aaron Gordon is literally it. Because
okay, so you
haven't seen much out of Jason Tatum.
You don't think the Morris can do it when he comes back?
The Morris?
Yeah, the Morris. It's one of them.
Yeah, it is one of them. I don't think so.
I mean, he's going to bring physicality. He's going to bring, you know, some grit.
That's great. But, like, between Fournier and Gordon, like, you have a great defensive stopper at guard. You don't have one who can really keep up with him. That's all I'm thinking.
But if the one guy that's going to beat you is Aaron Gordon and you're slowing down a guy like Vucevic and you're able to, you know, slow a guy down in Fournier with a guy like Jaylen Brown,
well, they can't
really
the question is, defensively, they don't really slow down Vucevic. That's the thing.
Al Horford isn't terrible.
He's not great. Vucevic is going to get like 11, 12 boards a night against him. You know, he's just going to feast on it.
But, well, Aaron Gordon will as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So my concern is if I'm the Magic and I want to beat them, you have to win that down low matchup. You have to focus on it because offensively you're going to get roasted at guard. And I don't know that you have a real great answer to the defense that Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown bring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
I think
that tandem is just overachieving all of my expectations. Right,
I think,
now.
The Celtics kick the Magic ass right now. I don't care what's going on right now. I look at the Celtics so far. Kyrie's been great. Al Horford's been great. You look at, like you mentioned, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They've been great. And I feel like, you know, that defense and the shooting for Orlando is going to drop off at some point. And I don't think you're going to get the same exact contribution that you're getting. It's going to be a decent contribution, but even then, I feel like it's going to slow down. And then when you boil down to it, Kyrie has the experience there. Al Horford has the experience. This Magic team doesn't. I feel like the Celtics beat them in probably 6 if we're looking at it currently.
Yeah,
I think the Wizards probably beat them as well. I think that one could possibly go to 7. But you know, again, bring up the fact with Wall and Beal. But I think you bring up a great point with the Bucks, and you look at that, and you know, the great thing that the Magic bring is perimeter defense. And you know, Giannis can drive all day, but if he's being shut down and his weapons outside are being shut down, like Chris Middleton, like Malcolm Brogdon, that's really going to slow that team down. And I feel like that's going to be a point of emphasis that the Magic could beat them in, and they also have a deeper team. I feel like that's going to be a way that the Magic could beat the Bucks. So I feel like ultimately this team could probably finish four, five, or six
in the
Eastern Conference. If they
get a four, do you think they can take it to the second round? Do you think they can win a matchup over a five seed or a, you know, in that range? Would you feel comfortable?
I think if they get to a...
You're just saying Celtics are a death match. So are the Cavs.
Yeah, Celtics and Cavs are the for sure death match.
Are you worried about you know the Raptors, even though they've been a little stuck out of the game?
I would say that, like, I feel like they're going to be in competition. I feel like the teams that are for sure are going to be the Cavs, Celtics, Magic, Bucks, and then Raptors, and Wizards. And you got those teams. And I think those teams so far are pretty much, I don't want to say locks for the playoffs because obviously the injuries can happen. But if we're seeing what we're seeing so far, I think the Cavs are obviously going to turn around. I think that other teams are going to be able to keep it in there with the talent they have. I feel like Orlando and Toronto could be an interesting matchup. But with Valanciunas' injury, their probably lack of ability to stop DeMar DeRozan. And then also we look at the guard. I'll take Kyle Lowry over any of the other players. And also you look at Serge Ibaka. Defensively, he's great. And he might be able to slow down Aaron Gordon. So I feel like that might be a troubling matchup as well for the Magic as well.
So yeah, like three teams to avoid, but you feel pretty good about them in most other matchups.
I feel pretty decent against the
Raptors. That's got to be the highest praise from you about the Magic in ages.
You guys,
Magic fans, save this clip.
You might make it to the second round. Congratulations. But it's also only eight
games.
I'm not saying shit. You guys... It's eight games.
It's overreaction time. It's hot take time.
It is true. Anyways, let us know your hot take about the Orlando Magic down in the comments below. Nikola Vucevic is not even, is like straight up. Not even. No. Like, you got to add a second for Draymond.
Maybe Cash Considerations join in on that.
Cash Considerations, Jordan Bell, and Draymond Green for Vucevic.
Well, that's just his nickname. I just refer to Jordan Bell as Cash Considerations.
Then we could do straight up. And we'll talk about it. But let us know your hot takes about the Orlando Magic down in the comments below. That's going to wrap it up for the Fast Break. If you want to check out Fast Break OT Edition, we're going to be talking about Reggie Jackson, Eric Bledsoe, and shopping those boys around. That's on YouTube. If you're listening on Block Talk Radio, thank you so much for checking us out. If you're listening to us on iTunes, don't forget to rate 5 stars on Fast Break. Also, since you're here, let us know your rating about the Onside Kick, the Primetime Podcast, Rick and Johnny on iTunes, and drop the 5 stars. And also patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast is where you can help us out, help us grow, and you can also be on a podcast if you check out that $10 tier. But we also got some fun stuff like monthly Patreon podcast. Ricky and Dave just did theirs for November. I think it was fun from what I've heard. You guys messed up recording.
It was good story times, yeah.
You guys messed up recording a little bit, but it still ended up being a good podcast. So if you guys want to check that out, go to patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast. But for Dave Oster, I'm Sean Anderson. We will see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.